Hi, good morning. It is Tuesday morning. It's the 21st of April when we are recording this little broadcast for all EC members. And I am joined again by, I'm not sure what the collective noun for a set of accountants should be. I'm going to call it a balance. That's what I'm going to call it. So I have a balance of accountants with me this morning, and some of them you will recognize. All four of them are absolute great examples of their profession, insofar as they are people who are way more proactive, way more understanding, way more tuned in to the needs and the demands of entrepreneurs than your average accountant is. So good morning to Noel Guilford, to Kim Marler, to Neil O'Brien, and to Liz Baranoff. Good morning, people. How are we doing?
Morning.
Are we all furloughed out? It went all right yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah.
So surprisingly straightforward.
Yeah. Now that, and by the way, that for an accountant was a rare display of enthusiasm. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of trepidation, and we're going to cover all the aspects at the moment of getting your business through this crisis from a fiscal and financial perspective. This is a marketing-free zone, this particular recording. But there was some, I think, quite a lot of trepidation around it. And I'm interested just to explore with you guys some of your own examples of things that happened yesterday. I know we had a bit of a blip at the weekend because I've only followed a few people, but actually working out what you had to, or what we were going to be able to claim for March was decidedly difficult until at the 11th hour, HMRC produced this calculator on their website, yeah. Which does seem to make it pretty straightforward, unless you are also topping up pay, in which case it was no bloody use at all. But from your experiences with your clients, I guess you've all had clients that have been through this in the last 24 hours. Any advice, any hints, any insights for us?
Well, with my clients, we've done it all for them. Those who wanted to furlough, I don't claim any great ability there myself. I didn't do it. My payroll lady does all my payroll. We contacted all our clients last week before, asking whether they were furloughing any staff or had furloughed any staff, got all the necessary details. And so we were ready to go yesterday morning. And yes, it went, as you say, it all went remarkably smoothly. I think probably I had expected that more companies would look to furlough on the first day than actually did. The total number, I think, by the close of play was only about 140,000, which I know is a lot, but I'm sure there are going to be more coming through. But yes, I mean, all credit to the government and HMRC. They got this system up in a remarkably short space of time. It just shows what you know you can do if you put your mind to it.
Mind you, no one's got any money yet, Noel.
that's a good point to mention, isn't it? That if you want to get paid by the end of April,
yes,
you need to furlough between before the end of tomorrow.
Well, like now, don't you? Yeah,
because it's working days.
Well, they have said that it takes up to six working days to get payment through, which theoretically means you'll need to have it completed by Wednesday in order to get payment by the end of the month.
And then subsequent claims, they've said, will be a bit quicker, won't they?
Yeah.
And am I right? You can put claims through up to 2 weeks before payroll is due.
That's right.
So the money should start flowing, shouldn't it?
You can put claims through right now for March and April.
Right. Okay. Go on, Liz. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, much what Kim just said, that you can go up to 2 weeks ahead. And I think that was one of the confusions with this claim, that people weren't quite sure whether they could go ahead, particularly weekly paid. So we had a client that was questioning that. So I think now that we've gone through this first round, then obviously subsequent will be a lot easier. People know the drill. They know how to get in. We had quite a few people yesterday. How do I even find the right page? Because there's been so much information. And the step-by-step guide came out on Saturday. So, you know, we did warn people that it was like that stuff was going to be coming out really right up until the last minute, as you say, the calculator, etc. But I think now people have got that familiarity, and we've got that familiarity as well. I mean, let's face it, we were a little bit like the blind leading the blind yesterday. Yeah. So we've all got that level of familiarity. It will become easier. But I think what Noel was saying about, you know, he thought more people would claim yesterday. I think it was a natural wariness that people thought it's not going to be robust enough. It's going to fall over. And I think now people will be a lot more confident and people will be more inclined to have a go. So I think we might see a peak today of more claims.
I think that's a good point to make, isn't it? That ultimately it's set up for 450,000 businesses to apply. You know, but obviously yesterday it was about 140. Yesterday people were finding slight glitches. So yes. I think if you, you know, if for example, the number of employees, you know, if you want to put in 8 and it's not letting you put 8 in, just come out and go back in again.
Right,
you know,
okay.
There are a few kind of, you know, potential glitches. Don't think it's not quite right. And one of the big things that we found, and I know a lot of accountancy colleagues did, was there was a bit of confusion over what the address is that you should put in. Because if you don't read it carefully, it looks like you put your bank address in, but actually the consensus is it's your business address, because they're trying to effectively you know, make sure there's no fraud. So they're just trying to match the details that they
okay with. Yeah, and one very important piece is obviously you have to keep all the cause they are going to audit this, aren't they? I feel very certain that anyone that's put any kind of meaningful claim in is going to get, at some point we'll get an audit. I know the warnings when you finish about making sure you keep the records for 5 years. I think it's going to become very important. I've certainly, we've set up a separate Dropbox folder just to put this in, so it has at least has a sporting chance of hanging around. But the sorry, Noel, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say it's also worth mentioning to members that there is, as always, the scammers are in on the game. There is an email going around purporting to be from HMRC, asking people to put their bank details in an email. If anybody gets one of those, they should ignore it. HMRC are not asking for people to put email addresses, sorry, to put bank details and email addresses.
Cool. Okay. Good advice there. I mean, obviously, the thing about the furlough stuff, obviously, it's useful because it enables us to keep our workforce, our team, our people kind of ready and waiting for when this whole thing is over. But of course, the money that comes through and flows goes straight back out again to those staff. There's no, there's nothing in this for the business beyond obviously the ability to retain people. And as, you know, as we enter, we're into kind of well into the fifth week now of lockdown. This is, I think this is like day 30 today. And as cash starts to diminish, what are you guys seeing with your clients around appetite, first of all, for this business interruption loan? Because I, what I'm seeing is a reluctance on behalf of many business owners to actually apply, because there is so, we don't know when this thing's going to end. And at the end of the day, taking on a loan, no matter, even though there's a guarantee, it's still, we're still primarily the ones that are liable for this. And very interested in your perspectives, Neil, here. Why don't you kick us off on this?
I had quite a different tact on this. I've shared it openly within all of my communities. There's a lot of clients have got existing debt in their businesses, whether that be personally they've invested and they've got director's loan accounts, or they've got credit card debt, they've got funding circle or another loan. So I've said to all of our clients, look, this is free money for at least 12 months. Fill it in, try and claim it. At worst case, swap out existing credit because you're getting the benefit of a interest rate freeze. So you're not being charged interest, but always borrow that little bit more to cover the what if scenario. So what's your cash deficit for the next 3 to 6 months? Borrow that and then finance it over a 5-6 year term. Now, if you know you don't need it, you can always then repay whatever you've borrowed at the end of 12 months when it becomes interest bearing.
Yes.
In the intervening period, you're getting the money into your bank account to give you the surety of what next, what happens if you're building that cash buffer. So if anyone's scared about getting debt into the business, then there's no holds bars in the current economy. I'd just take the money whilst it's there. At best case, replace any existing debt-bearing finance because you're saving yourself cash flow.
Yes.
At worst case, just put it in as a rainy day fund.
And not spend it.
Try not to spend it. Yes. It's always tempting when you've got a lot of cash in the bank.
Yeah. No, yeah, go ahead.
Well, technically, Neil, that isn't quite in accordance with the rules, though, is it? Because you are supposed to say what you're going to spend it on, and repaying existing debt wouldn't be one of the reasons that qualifies. So, I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying, but I suspect that, and we should just be careful here for members, that unless they've got what the government and banks would consider a genuine reason to need this money, then they may well be turned down if all they're doing is replacing existing debt.
Agreed, but there is enough cases out there that we've gone through where we've swapped out existing finance facilities, borrowed some additional working capital to cover them for the next 2 to 3 months. I mentioned on a Zoom call yesterday that we had a successful CBILS overdraft application come through. Not a loan, an overdraft.
So again, just to be clear, CBILS is the coronavirus business interruption loan scheme. So you had an overdraft rather than a loan.
Yeah, so this business had an existing mortgage on the property, and going to the bank lending criteria, they couldn't borrow an additional loan because they already had a mortgage on the property. So they fall down into the next level of lending or borrowing, which was the bank were able to offer them an overdraft facility. So we calculated they needed about £60,000 to get them through the next sort of 3 to 4 months. They've then had £100,000 overdraft facility given to them. Now that's been fully delivered via the business interruption loan scheme.
Okay. So
it's not a loan per se, but there's no guarantees in place. The interest rate came out at 3.75 or 3.25 over base.
Right.
So incredibly low for an overdraft.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
And obviously it's having all of the interest and arrangement fees waived for at least 12 months. So you don't need to think in terms of, do I need a loan that needs to be paid every single month? The banks are able to offer you other forms of finance, but back it with the government guarantee.
So your advice here then is to talk
to your banks.
Yeah.
Definitely have the conversation with your banks.
But again, I suspect what's happening here is this is quite helpful insight and from you guys here, because how you have the conversations will have a significant impact on what the outcome is, I suspect, won't they? So knowing what to say is part of the route to success here. Yeah, go on, Liz.
I think as well, the thing to bear in mind is that the banks have been struggling to keep up in the same way as we all have with the legislation that's coming out and what's being asked of them. It's a very new process and a very new approach for them, CBILS. And they've been struggling to get their house in order, to know how to approach it, how to manage the volume of applications. And they're now starting to come beyond the, oh my God, how do we do this, to the, what else can we do? And I think the CBILS overdraft side of things, and just their mentality is starting to be, okay, how can we help? Certainly we've seen a shift in attitude from the people that we've spoken to. At Funding Circle, we've been speaking to quite a bit, because a lot of our clients have got Funding Circle loans. And initially they were absolutely rigid. We can't do anything about payment holiday because we'd have to refer it to the credit reference agencies.
Yes.
Now they've come out with two different options about payment holidays, depending on what type of business you are, and that can be approved within 15 minutes. So the institutions are taking time to catch up and get themselves organised. They've gone through the same upheaval as we all have, working from home and all of that.
Yes.
On a bigger scale, and have got this huge burden of carrying everybody. And they do seem to be, I don't know how the others are feeling, but they do seem to be becoming more accepting and more flexible themselves.
Okay. Kim?
Yeah. I was on a Zoom call last week with a number of people and the small business minister. And he said exactly that, Liz, that, you know, the banks now obviously have been under a lot of pressure from the government. And ultimately, you know, where in the first cases they were offering their own products, the overdrafts, etc., they are now being, you know, clearly told what they need to do and how they need to access this. And just picking up on a point Nell made earlier, you know, it is really important that you put your application in and package it correctly to get it through. And obviously one of those options is that you have got to have shown that you factored in, you know, you have taken advantage of the furlough scheme, you know, you have taken advantage of, you know, VAT deferments and any other help like the rates help, etc. You know, you do need to put a synopsis of what you need the money for. So clearly you've got to be careful around that. And it would be really helpful. It isn't common knowledge, but if you can find out what your business's shadow lending limit is, effectively there's a pre-authorized limit that your business has, that if you find what that is and put the loan in for that amount, it's more likely to go through.
How on earth do you find that out?
Speak nicely to somebody in the bank. If you go into your bank, what they have, if you look over their shoulders, they log into your business accounts. There's always a figure in there that tells them what the balance is and what the available funds are, and then what the availability would be if you need to borrow any cash from them.
Yeah, if you ask your bank manager, ultimately.
They'll tell you that based upon your trading and the amount of cash coming through your business account, they almost pre-authorise you a funding limit.
Okay.
Now, they have already offered you an overdraft to that limit.
Now, have any of you guys experienced people going, clients of yours, going to funders other than their normal bank? No.
Yes, there's... Kim just mentioned Funding Circle, who of course aren't a traditional bank. They're a third-party lender, so they don't provide banking services. They weren't originally accredited under the scheme, but they are now. There are two or three additional banks who have been added into the scheme. So certainly, we've seen an increase in applications to Funding Circle. If either the existing bankers have said no, or they want to look at an alternative source. Interestingly, of course, some people in the early days were turned down by their own banks and looked at other sources. What we're suggesting to them is the rules have changed, or they seem to be, there may be a different view, so possibly go back to your existing bank. Even though it was down 4 weeks ago, that's worth doing. But I think going back to your original question, Nigel, I think you're right. I think I'm certainly seeing clients who are resisting taking these loans or reluctant to take the loans right now. They know they've got to do what Kim said, which is to make sure that they've furloughed staff if they need to. They've got the grant if they can get it. They've deferred their tax payments. I was talking to a client yesterday who we've just redone their cash flow forecast up to the end of the year. It's showing that they're going to be probably okay until the autumn, and so they're waiting to see what's going to happen. And they're saying we've made maximum use that we can. We've got our £10,000 rate grant in. We haven't paid our VAT. We've furloughed staff, so when that money comes in. So they've budgeted for all that and are saying that the CBILS loan would be their sort of last resort, if you like, if this carries on longer. And I think that's the attitude that a number of businesses are taking. They'd rather not take a loan until they've exhausted the other option.
And I understand that fully. The element to be wary of, it seems to me, is that these loans do take time to sort out, and from the day you apply to when you get the money is measured in weeks, not days, and it's not a small number of weeks typically either. And as cash is diminished, as you know, because certain things do have to be paid, one of the things to be wary of is to not leave it too late, because it seems to me if you leave it too late, perversely, you'll actually make it less likely that you'll get the cash, because when you get to a state of desperation, you become a much less attractive proposition for any lender, don't you?
You do, but that's why keeping your cash flow forecast up to date is even more important.
Fair point. Now, Noel, you put something out. I saw one of your many emails that you've been putting out. You've been the most prolific accountant, certainly, and I'm on a lot of lists of a lot of people, and your emails that are coming out, I find, are the most... you know, the most useful, and certainly the most, there's quite a lot of them as well. You're coming out two or three times a week with substantive information. And in one of your messages last week, you have a little four parts of four things to do to maximize your chances of success with an application. Now, I've got this in front of me. You may not have, so I'm not gonna test you on your powers of recall. But first one up is finalizing your most recent annual accounts. Now, now, given a lot of accountants at the moment, I'm like, because you guys are, you know, you've never been so popular in terms of, but genuinely, I bet none of you have ever had so many proactive calls from clients wanting your input or your help than you've ever had before, really. So at the moment, finalizing accounts is not going to be near the top of your list until the business starts to require it and request it. Am I right?
Well, it's interesting you say that. And I mean, we're all obviously in slightly different positions, but those clients who have sensibly adopted cloud accounting, so they've got QuickBooks Online or Xero.
If they keep those
up to date, and if we're having monthly conversations with them, then actually finalizing their accounts at the end of the year should be very straightforward and very quick.
Or at least, and just to be clear, all you need to do from a lending perspective is have a draft version, don't you? So it's not, they don't have to be the absolute final version that gets filed. You just need to have a draft version of your year-end accounts.
Well, I think different lenders are taking a slightly different approach on that. But ideally, if you've produced your draft accounts, actually, you know, getting them completed and signed off shouldn't be a big job.
Okay. All right. So cloud accounting, number one. But I mean, again, which is great. And most people are on cloud accounting now. But again, it's not an easy thing to switch to it. Or maybe it is. Tell me there. You know, because the benefits of being on that, I get that. You can click a button and you get, they chuck out reports and produce numbers for you. So your little four things were be on a cloud accounting system, because that gives you management accounts. Yeah. Have your year-end accounts, which you're saying that, you know, if you're on the right system, ought to be able to be produced within a few weeks of the year end. And then you need the cash flow forecast, which I always thought was, I did think my first occurrence was a bit balmy of the lenders to be requiring cash flow forecast. Although I kind of guess I understand why they want it. The point is that because there's so much uncertainty, because no one has any idea when the revenue is going to start to flow again. Because what any business you are in, if your revenue has been impacted by this, and you just don't know what's going to happen. Are we going to be trading in June or not? When do I put does the revenue start to flow in July? Do I put August? Do I be really conservative and put September? Or because that's going to have a massive impact. But I guess the lenders are just wanting to show evidence that at least you're doing the thinking and that you've got a model. Is that right?
Absolutely. They just, you know, want you to have a sensible thought process. You know, we all know that can slip, but ultimately we've got to come out of this at some point. So you've just got to put your stake in the ground, and as long as you can back it up and it's sensible, then that's the way to go. I think another benefit of cloud accounting there that we haven't kind of mentioned is that some of the lenders, obviously the kind of what we call the fintech lenders, can actually with your open banking actually take a feed from Xero, QuickBooks and the other stuff, so it actually can potentially speed up the process.
Okay. All right, so these are the new the non-traditional bank lenders typically, yeah, who have got the systems to actually plug into your cloud accounting.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about brokers? Are you guys using any brokers to find? Because certainly, you know, there's quite a lot of, you know, businesses have been helped. Certainly, a lot of EC members have been helped in the past where their traditional bank has declined, but then a lending broker has been able to then find a lender who specializes in whatever and been able to provide it for them.
We've been using, I think you know Sharon Cook.
Yes, we do.
We use her quite a lot, and she's been really helpful. We've been able to keep up to date with a lot of what's going on because we've had so much going on. Yes. We've only got a small client base, but we've been talking to them and getting a lot out to them, a lot of questions coming back as well. So she's been able to keep us up to date with what's going on. We've been talking to her about startup loans. Everyone's concentrating on CBILS. But actually startup loans for some people where they've got a separate area to the business where they could perhaps take yes. that to a separate business itself. The startup loan option is there. If they don't think perhaps that they would be able to qualify for CBILS, as long as they're personally able to pass a credit check, that's been an option. And also she was able to find us somebody who was offering bridging loans for until the job retention scheme money comes through.
Okay.
Until the grants come through. So it okay. was a real stopgap funding option. As long as you could, I mean, the paperwork process behind it was quite onerous, but as long as you could provide all of that, there is one lender who was actually able to do that, which was really helpful. So yeah. for us, keeping in touch with a good broker with the right accreditations and the right connections and a broad enough panel has been really, really helpful.
Okay. But what are you, because I still, as a business owner and talking to a lot of EC members, this notion there is, because everything is so uncertain about, because we don't know when we'll be able to trade again, in my experience says that's making people very reluctant to take on liabilities. What are you guys saying? Because you must have clients that have fundamentally, you know, at the beginning of March they had a fundamentally stable business that is profitable and sustainable, but some of those businesses now on paper at least are kind of insolvent. And what are you saying to them around advising them in this regard? Because it's a big old step, this, to take on and any debt becomes, even at the moment you've got no sense as to when you'll be able to start to service it. What are you saying, Noel?
I'm finding that my clients falling into two categories. The one I mentioned earlier who is saying, well, I'll put everything else in place first. I'm reluctant to take on debt because it is debt. But there's also a mindset that says, I'll get as much as I can because this is about survival and I'll worry about how I'm going to repay it later.
Yes.
That's perhaps not an attitude that a lot of us would recommend. But actually, if you spend a lot of time, as a lot of people have, building up a business, getting to the point where they're now employing people, they've perhaps got quite a nice lifestyle, and they can see that all disappearing before their eyes, then actually recognizing that getting your hands on as much money as you can, as quickly as you can, may well be the thing that makes the difference between success and failure.
Yeah.
And so in that case, because people are saying, well, we don't know whether it's going to be 3, 6, 12, 18 months, 2 years. So other than trying to guess.
Oh, no, don't say 2 years. For God's sake.
Whatever it, no.
Oh, but other
than trying to guess, in some sectors, it's going to take longer, isn't it? Let's be honest.
No, well, that is very true. Sensibly, I think we can all see.
Look, let's do what we, if this money is available now, taking Neil's point, if this money is available now and we can get it, let's get it, because if we can forecast we need it, and if we don't, that's great.
Yeah.
If we do, at least it's in the bank.
Yeah.
And I think it's very much a mindset thing as to whether people, I wrote at the weekend that this is all about thinking deeply. The people who are now really thinking about their business, how this is going to impact them, what they can do to mitigate the risks, what they can do to come out of this. Those are the people who are going to survive.
Yes.
We've got beyond sort of the initial panic. I'm spending more time now, probably the last week, 10 days, with people who are now really wanting to explore perhaps ideas that they've not explored in the past, things that they've, because life's been comfortable and things have been carrying on as they are, and they're now saying, well, you know what, you're right, I perhaps should be looking at different ways of serving my customers, different ways that of getting my products to market.
Yeah.
And I think those are the businesses that are going to come out of this more successfully. And so,
and as we do come out of this, which will happen at some point, the businesses that have cash at that point, or have access to cash, whether that is borrowed money or whatever else it is, but they are the ones that are going to be best placed to properly exploit the opportunities when this comes back, aren't they? And it's not going to be, you know, the businesses that just, that if you adopt a complete survival mindset, then that is all that will happen. You will
survive.
God willing, survive. But that's not why any of us went into business. We went into business, you know, to flourish and to create something. And there are going to be opportunities here as we come out in almost every sector. I mean, I'm seeing it from a marketing perspective now. You know, I've never been able to buy traffic this year. I mean, I've gone back 7 years on Facebook. I mean, in terms of what I'm paying for traffic. And we are absolutely loving it and making hay while the sun shines, because what's happened is so many people have hunkered down, battened down their hatches, and they've stopped spending. And those of us that are still in the market are making great strides. And that principle will apply in most markets as we come out of this at different points. And this is why access to cash is going to be so important. Neil, you were going to chip in here.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, actually, Nigel. There's two things that we always are constrained by as business owners. We're either really busy and we don't have the time to do the things we want to do, or we've got no money and we can't afford to do the things we want to do.
Yes.
All of a sudden, we've got an awful lot of time available to us, but we've got no cash. So if we can solve the funding issues, then we've got a war chest, for want of a better word,
yes,
that enables us to come back out of this at the right side and think, well, what are we going to do when the new economy opens again? I don't personally think we are many moons away from that happening. You can see in other countries, Denmark's allowing nurseries back out. Schools are going back in the next couple of weeks in Denmark.
Yeah.
I know there's been calls with some of our international clients about how they're going to reopen some, yes, of their offices when they're allowed to. So business owners are starting now to think about the go back to work plans.
Yes.
And that's quite close. So I do see that we are going to get to a trading economy again at some point in the next 3 to 6 months. I can't hand on heart say it's definitely happening.
Well, no one can. Yeah.
But I do think it's going to happen. In which case, I'm advising all of our clients, let's prepare a cash flow forecast. Let's see what the funding gap is. Can we then plug that funding gap?
Yeah.
If you're going through that scenario, you at least know that if I don't trade from now till September, yeah, how much cash deficit do I have in my business?
Yes.
Then you can assess whether it's worthwhile you borrowing the money based upon your own appetite to risk.
Yes.
And as entrepreneurs, that's all we do every day. We take a risk game.
Yeah.
Should I invest in marketing? Will I get the return? Should I borrow the money from the bank? Will I get a return?
Yeah. And I think that comes through, you were saying before about, you know, what are we advising clients? I think that's the strength of knowing your client and being able to guide an individual client, because you know them, you know what they're trying to do, you have the conversation,
yes,
you work out with them what their risk appetite is, you work out what their cash flow looks like, you work out what how they feel about taking on debt, and then you say, right, okay, with all of that in taken into consideration, this is what we would suggest, and therefore they feel much more comfortable.
Yes.
It's not a splattergun approach that we think all of our clients should go for this. You can't do that right now. There's just so much uncertainty. You've got to base on the knowledge that we all have of our clients and do it on a step-by-step basis.
Yeah. It's certainly a time when I think all businesses are finding out how good their accountant is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
And it's also worth reminding members that historically, if you look at past recessions, more businesses fail coming out of a recession than, yeah, they do going in.
Yeah.
And that's because they're undercapitalized.
Yes.
The cash is all gone and they start to trade again. And taking Liz's point, it is really interesting to, when you start to put the higher sales figures into the budgets as you come out of a recession, and then look at what that does to your working capital requirement.
Yes.
That's when you really need to know exactly how much you can afford to trade.
Yes, of course. Sometimes
it is a trade-off between, yes, how quickly you come out of yes, recession and making sure that you can still survive. And a lot of businesses are going to feel that once we come out of this, then let's pile everything back in, because as you said, Nigel, the money's still out there, but you do need to be careful how quickly, yeah, how quickly.
Yes. And that depends, again, as Liz was saying, that is different for every business, because working capital requirements are different depending in which particular sector or industry you're in. Kim.
Just one thing that I noticed.
Hang on, let Kim talk first, Neil, please. Go on, Kim.
Yeah, we've been talking to our, like Liz has said, you know, to our clients on an individual basis and getting them to, you know, plan properly and think about what it is going to look like when they come out of this. You know, are they pivoting? What can we do to pivot right now and obviously in the future? Obviously the cash is important, but it's also having that confidence as well as we go through to understand that we can still sell. You know, it's not a dirty word. As long as you're solving problems that your clients and customers have, it is okay to continue to sell. People still, you know, not everybody is completely shut down and doesn't have any cash.
We did a survey last week, as many of you will know, of our EC members, and really interesting. I'll just look up the exact number here, but you know, we've got over 10% of EC businesses have seen their revenue go up since lockdown began. Now equally, at the other end, like 50% have seen their revenue completely obliterated. And everyone else is kind of in between. But my point is, and it's a point you guys have made, you know, repeatedly now in this conversation, it is different for everybody, and there isn't a one size kind of fits all. And it's where it's really important that, you know, I'm talking now to our listeners, that you as a business owner are getting the right advice for you and your situation, because your situation will be different to, you know, say not everybody else's, but many, many other people. And there isn't a one size fits all. There isn't, oh, you should definitely do this. And in fact, the only thing I would say that you should definitely do is you do need the insightful guidance and wisdom from a top notch accountant, because at this point in time, more than ever, the value of a good accountant to a good business has never been greater. And conversely, a business owner coping with what are totally unprecedented challenges without the crutch to lean on that is an experienced, wise, knowledgeable, honest, proactive, constructive accountant is a business owner that is significantly weakened, and in some cases, unfortunately, will be weakened to a point where it has catastrophic impact on the business. And that's me talking, not the accountants on the call. You know, the value of a good accountant is markedly, immeasurably more than just an accountant. And there's a big difference, as I think you've hopefully seen. I'm conscious of time. Everybody's here. Any final kind of thoughts or words on this? Neil, I'll go to you first.
I'll come back to what we said on the previous calls. At the moment, everybody's panicking about cash flow, and I think we need to, as business owners, keep an eye on it on a daily basis, try and figure out what we've got coming in, where we can get some opportunities, minimize our cash outflows. All of my clients are now getting given a free, very basic Excel template so they can monitor on a weekly basis on a 12-week roll.
Yes.
What cash flow requirements are. I'm happy to share that out towards the group.
That would be great. If we'll put that on the page where this recording is. That would be really helpful.
Just so people can self-serve and see what their ebbs and flows of cash flow are going to be over the next 12-week cycle.
Yeah. Okay. Kim, final thoughts from you?
Again, to all the businesses that are listening, you know, use this time wisely to plan for Freedom Day and what you can do to really thrive going out of this. Obviously, you know, cash flow, as Neil said, is extremely important.
Okay, Liz?
I'd echo what everyone else has said, but I think also look at your internal processes. Take this opportunity, because we've all gone through such an upheaval. All your existing habits have gone, largely. You can rewrite anything that you need to, and that's your internal habits, that's daily disciplines, that's your terms and conditions. Think about your cash conversion cycle. Can you get cash coming into your business earlier in the process than you would have done previously? So deposits, stage payments, that sort of thing. You do not have to come out of this operating in the same way as you did going in. So think about those sorts of things while you've got the opportunity, really, and get your accounts done, get your tax return done, so that you know exactly what you're looking at in terms of liabilities, and all of that gets factored into your cash flow as well.
Okay. Noel, final word for you then.
The old normal isn't coming back. Whatever sector you're in, it's going to be different. The new normal is going to have different dynamics. Your competitors are thinking about what it's going to be like after this recession, after this pandemic, and you should be too. The more time you spend now thinking about your business model and how that's going to move in the next phase, once we come out of this, the better you'll be prepared, and the more chances you have of being one of the businesses that survives.
Wise words. Thank you guys ever so much. That's been a really, I hope, a very helpful conversation here for our front members. I do appreciate you all giving up your time. The contact details for Noel and for Kim and for Neil and for Liz are on this page, should you wish to talk to them. Obviously, their priorities are to their clients, but they've all got capacity. So thank you for listening. This is an occasional broadcast, and as things develop and the situation moves, then we may well be back again. But for now, enjoy the rest of your week, the rest of your day, and stay focused. Bye-bye.